by Gainesville Mechanical on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 and FM 102.9, WDUN.
People who commit the crimes, who use guns to commit the crime, they ought to be the ones who are prosecuted. They ought to be the ones whose sentences we're increasing. They ought to be the ones that we're focused on, but that's not apparently what this bill is going to do. Instead, it's going to take away Second Amendment rights from law-abiding citizens without any adjudication of crime.
It is the Martha Zoller Show, and that's Senator Josh Hawley talking about the so-called compromise in the United States Senate related to gun control. And I'm not going to call it gun safety because that's what they, the new term they want you to use. Jerry Henry's joining me right now from GA2A, formerly known as Georgia Carry. And first of all, welcome back to the program, Jerry. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. It's been a while since we've talked.
That's right. And of course, on top of all of that, we've got this ad out there by Stacey Abrams with a so-called former deputy sheriff talking about how people are going to die because of constitutional carry, and that all it was a campaign promise, but it really doesn't do anything. So we've got an all-out assault, if you forgive using the word, right, on Second Amendment rights.
That's correct. We've had one for quite some time. You know, the Democrats finally came out and said that's what they want to do. They want to take our guns. We've known they wanted to do that for years and years and years, but they finally got up enough guts to come out and say that's what we're going to do. We're going to do everything we can to relieve you of your Second Amendment right and your right to defend yourself.
So let's talk about what they're talking about up in the federal government, because I'm probably going to disagree with you on the fact that I don't think it's a problem to have some limitations on age, on when guns can be bought. And I think that there are some limited background checks and things like that that I think are probably a good thing. What are you all looking for?
Well, I would have to disagree with you on the age thing, because if you're an adult at 18, if you can go serve your country and fight in some hellhole overseas with fully automatic weapons, why can't you buy one at home? You know, it's just not right to discriminate against someone 18 to 21 years old, unless you're going to discriminate all the way across the board. Do you want to make him be an adult at 21, or you want to make him be an adult at 18? And as far as background checks go, we have background checks. Everybody that buys a weapon has to go through from an FFL dealer has to go through a background check. And if you go and get your permits, which we people continue to do that, because there are several things that help you with, it does have the mental health background checks. I don't know what background checks you're referring to, but I basically think we have enough.
So what they'll say about the 18 is that you join the military at 18, but they don't just put a gun in your hand. They teach you how to use it. So that's what the people who support this 21-year-old ban say. What do you say to that?
Well, I will tell you that I have a grandson that's 22, and I trusted him when he was 12 years old because I trained him early on how to handle firearms, and I trust him more when he was 11, 12 years old than I did most adults at that time, because I knew that he was trained properly. Now, as far as training goes, there's no other constitutional right that requires you to be trained before you can exercise that right. Now, regardless of whether the military trains you, the reason they train you is because they're training you on that type of weapon, because you can't buy the weapons on the streets, not legally, right, that you can, that you're forced to carry in the military.
So tell me what GA2A is. First of all, I guess you're working on what's going to happen on the federal level, but then we've got a legislative session coming up in January, which will be here before you know it. What are the things you're working on right now?
Well, we're continuing to work on things that we've been working on. We've got a long list of things that are items that we have learned through some of our lawsuits, where we have loopholes in the law that allow certain individuals to bypass laws. We have, for instance, if you're carrying a firearm and someone comes up and threatens you, and you show them that firearm, and they go off and call the police, you're the one that can be arrested because it's considered assault in Georgia. We'd like to get that changed. Uh-huh. There's numerous things along those lines. There's not a big thing. I mean, these things are all big in themselves, but they're not an item such as permitless carry and things along those lines.
Like constitutional carry was in the last session.
Right.
So we're in a pretty good place. But we're in a pretty good place in Georgia then right now.
We're in a good place. There's still some things that we need to address. But it's not, we've got an awful lot of liberties, an awful lot of freedoms that we can carry. We've changed the law considerably in the last 12 years. We've gone from being 41st worst state for gun laws in the country to somewhere in the top five or so. So we've made an awful lot of progress. We've gotten rid of public gathering laws, the Jim Crow laws that Stacey Abrams would like to take us back to, and things of that nature.
Now, expand on that a little bit when you say Jim Crow laws.
Well, Jim Crow laws were the ones, if you remember, if you know a little bit about history, back during the Civil War, after the Civil War, they came in with the Jim Crow laws to protect, supposedly, the white folks and keep black folks from owning firearms. The only reason we ever had gun control, especially in the South, was to keep arms out of the hands of black folks. The former slaves, and I ask the question from time to time, if slaves were armed, how long do you think they would remain in slavery?
Yeah, really.
Not very.
Really.
Not very long. And the Jim Crow laws were laws that applied basically to blacks and not white folks.
But you know what was interesting about all that, and the reason why I asked you to expand on that, is that it took until we had Republican governors to actually repeal the Jim Crow laws. We had 132 years of Democrat governors after the Civil War, and they never repealed any of the Jim Crow laws.
No, not one time. And in fact, in 2010, when we passed SB 308, which did away with the public gathering, that was the first law that had been repealed, I think 110 years or something along those lines. And we did that, and it was about gun control. That was the one that said you couldn't carry to or while at a public gathering, which consists of but is not limited to public gatherings, bars, churches, political rallies and churches. And you couldn't carry to or while at those, and nobody could enforce them. And the reason that they were so vague was because all of the law enforcement for most of that time were white, and they were aimed at the blacks, and they could enforce that basically any way they wanted to define it.
So I know in Texas they have a kind of a two-year process where the budget is for 2 years, and in the off year they look through for things like this, the laws that are not in place anymore, that kind of thing. Is that something mm-hmm. we should look at in Georgia, to where we do a two-year budget and then we take the off year to kind of clean up all these old laws that are on the books?
Well, I'm all for that, because that's a lot of what I said that we were working on now is getting laws that should have been taken care of a long time ago and doing basically cleanup work. As you know, a lot of our gun laws in particular are passed at the last minute.
Yes.
And if there's any kind of conference committee report or anything along those lines, things get messed up in there. We don't get exactly what we wanted. And we knew it would be a problem if it was passed that way. So we go back to next year and we come up with a cleanup bill. And that's what we will be pushing next year more than anything, will be cleanup bills.
So, Jerry, and we're talking to Jerry Henry, executive director of GA2A, formerly known as Georgia Carry. What do you think is the biggest misconception about organizations like yours?
Boy, that I'm not. I've been called so many things and told so much stuff, it's kind of hard to understand. One of the problems, and I've discussed this just the other night with my son-in-law, one of our biggest problems is that we have people that are fighting against our rights that they don't know what they're talking about.
Yes.
They don't know, either they don't know or they're just flat out lying. They don't have anybody that knows anything about firearms. Joe Biden sits up there and says you can fire 300 rounds a minute with an AR-15. It'll never happen. The gun will melt down before you can fire that many rounds. Plus the fact there's no way you can reload that many rounds in a minute's time.
Right.
And you're going to have one tired trigger finger because it takes one pull each time. And they talk about how AR-15 will pulverize meat, so there's no way you can hunt with it. Well, that's BS too, because that round was designed to wound and not kill, because in the military, that round will, if a person's dead by one shot, then it only takes two people to pick him up and take him back home. But if he's wounded, it takes about 20 people to get him to the hospital, work on him and all. And so you're tying up an awful lot of your military resources in the hospital and transporting those people over to get them worked on if they're wounded. If they're dead, it only takes a couple of people. So it was designed not to kill, but to wound. And there's no way that you can shoot that many times into a deer and pulverize the meat.
Right, right, right. It's just a misconception then about really how guns work. And look, I've been around guns my whole life. My husband, has been around guns his whole life. He had his first gun when he was 12 years old, and he still has that gun. Mm-hmm. We still use it. It's the one he taught our kids on, and, you know, all that sort of thing. I do not carry a handgun because I haven't been trained to do so. It's not that I have mm-hmm. anything against that. I just feel very strongly that I shouldn't have one if I don't know how to use it. And
that's fine.
Yeah. But I certainly think that, you know, we've come a long way in Georgia, and that ad just drives me crazy. The one that's running right now that has this former deputy sheriff or whoever he is saying that people will die. More people will die. This is I think that ad is a perfect example of people not really knowing what they're talking about.
I will agree with that 100%. And not only that, you know, Stacey Abrams wants to call the constitutional carry. I call it permitless carry, but she wants to call it criminal carry. It had nothing to do with giving criminals guns. Criminals still have to go through the same process that they used to go through.
Criminals are going to have guns.
On the black market.
You can limit every gun in America, and criminals will still have guns. The people that won't have
guns are the
law-abiding people that know how to do
it.
If you look at the number of crimes that are committed by people that go through the law-abiding process, that's almost nothing. But there's close to 1 million incidences every year in this country where people protect themselves with the guns that they legally own. So, we've got to get it out.
We don't hear about those.
We don't hear about that because somebody doesn't die. I mean,
No, that's right. And nobody goes and calls the police and says, hey, I just saved myself from being arrested, being accosted, or being robbed.
Yes.
Nobody says that, and the guy that was doing it doesn't go and call the police and say, "Hey, I just got run off of a robbery."
Right after
Uvalde, that's not going to happen.
Right after Uvalde, there was a woman in West Virginia at an apartment complex. They were having an outdoor party. A man drives by, and he's making a lot of noise, and the people ask him to be a little bit quiet. He pulls out a gun from his car and is driving by with a gun. She pulls out her lawfully owned weapon and kills him. And the police say she probably saved 20 people by doing that. And there was a few local reports on it, a few local reports, and a newspaper in India picked it up, but nobody else.
Right. No, it does not fit the template. If it doesn't fit the template, we're not going to hear about it most of the time.
That's absolutely
true. That's the way it is.
Jerry,
you know, it's unfortunate. But
Jerry Henry, how can people help GA2A?
Well, you can go to our website, ga2a.org, and join. And we keep you informed what's going on in the General Assembly as far as gun laws go, both good and bad. And we ask you to join in and write your senators, representatives, and the governor. When bills are there that we want, that we don't want. If we want to act on it, we take what action we want. Better, good, and join in and help us do that. And I'd like to say one other thing.
And Jerry, you're cutting out a little bit, but I just want to say that even if you are a person that's in favor of gun control, you should go to the GA2A website and take a look at it. You'll learn a lot, and you shouldn't be opposed to something that you don't know everything about. Jerry Henry, thank you for being with us today. We're going to take a break and take you down to the bottom of the hour.
If you're low on brain juice,